brought to you by Penguin.
The Silent Twins by Marjorie Wallace. Read by Jodie May. Acknowledgements. First and foremost, I should like to acknowledge the courage of Aubrey and Gloria Gibbons, the parents of the twins who trusted me and gave me unwavering help, even when it meant great sacrifice to themselves, their family, and their privacy. Without their strength to carry through the decision that their daughter's story should be told, this book would not have been written. I should also like to acknowledge the brave concern of Tim Thomas, the educational psychologist who first assessed the twins. It was his fears for their future which prompted me to take an interest in their story, and despite disapproval from less imaginative colleagues, and at the risk of his job, he gave me and the Gibbons family every possible support. His wife Susan and his children had to suffer much unpleasantness, but they have always encouraged him. My thanks are due to many people in and around Haverford West, including Dr. Evan Davies, Kathleen Arthur, the twins' special teacher, who lent me her thesis, and the police, who opened their files to me. I am grateful to the governor and staff at Puckle Church Remand Centre for allowing me access to Dr. William Spry, the psychiatrist for the twins' defence, Dr. John Hamilton, director of Broadmoor Special Hospital, and to some doctors and nurses and social workers there. In particular, I should like to acknowledge Dr. Boyce Lukuta, who invited me to visit and encouraged my continuing contact with June and Jennifer, and Mr. Douglas Hunter, social worker who checked the chapter on Broadmoor. I should like to thank Mary Seneschal and Francis Anglis for their excellent help in the task of transcribing the diaries. Also, Kim Bourne and Sally Baker. Most important of all, I am indebted to Tom Margerison, whose firm judgments, patience, and kindness have sustained me over the 3 difficult years of my involvement with the twins. Introduction. As I looked out of the window, there I saw the bird sitting alone, his feathers ruffled in the snow, his beak firmly closed to the world, just like I was. But who was to know? June Gibbons. Haverford West is an uninspired little town with spiky outlines, its houses stuck to the hills like the crusted spines of an ancient reptile. Set at the western tip of the Pembroke Peninsula, the capital of West Wales, it embodies centuries of spiritless days of cloud and rain. Old streets and new housing estates merge effortlessly in the overall grey. The inhabitants, too, seem to have taken the weather into their souls, speaking in a soft, squelching brogue and keeping their inner selves tightly shut against the elements. At the top of a hill, set between the abandoned racecourse and town, there is one of these post-war housing estates, nondescript terraces of 2 to 4 bedroom houses built for the families of other ranks from the nearby RAF base at Broadie. Although the grime on the pebble dash bears witness to many years of living, the estate retains the look of temporary dwellings. Almost every garden has remained a solid patch of green. Few trees have been planted, and fewer flowers. In No. 35 Fursey Park, the end house of one of the terraces, lived the Gibbons family, then the only black family on the estate. Aubrey Gibbons, a handsome man with considerable charm and a desire to please, worked as an assistant air traffic controller at the base. Since leaving Barbados 20 years previously, he had built a safe, if not meteoric, career with the RAF. His wife, Gloria, 4 years his senior.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?